Hello, welcome to the programme. European farmers have protested on many occasions over the viability of their businesses, and they gathered in Brussels on December the 18th when the Mercosur trade agreement with Latin American countries was on the agenda of the European Council. Well, farmers are also worried about a proposed cut in agricultural funds in the EU's next long-term budget. Today we're going to head to Brussels and to the head of the European umbrella organization that brings together agricultural unions and cooperatives, COPA COGECA. Eli Tsiforou was appointed Secretary General in June. She's from Greece, and she was policy advisor to the European and the Hellenic parliaments, and also she was chief of staff in the office of the Greek Minister for Tourism and Culture. Eli Tsiforou, welcome to Talking Europe. We all remember those widespread farmers' protests in 2023 and 2024. The European Commission and member states said that they would improve conditions for farmers. But is the sector still in crisis, basically?
Thank you for the invitation. The sector is in crisis. What we experience and the reason that led us to the street is that on one hand, we have in words a recognition by the European Commission of the importance, of the strategic importance of agriculture. But then when we look so far to the deliverables, the concrete deliverables on behalf of the institutions to support our sector, that we see very few elements that go towards this direction. You mentioned the common agricultural policy. I don't think I need to explain how fundamental this policy is for European farmers, and not only for consumers, but also for rural areas. And there we see that the proposals of the Commission for the future policy after 2028 not only introduce important budgetary cuts, so 20% without counting the impact of the inflation, they also radically change the structure of the whole EU budget, and among which of the common agricultural policy. So there we see a clear danger of renationalization of the only common policy of the EU, which is one of the pillars of the EU construction as a whole. So this renationalization risks to end up with 27 agricultural policies across the EU and a severe impact on the internal market and to the functioning of the food chain, but also to rural areas.
The Commission, of course, insists that despite everything you've just said, that farmers will receive a reliable income through a ring-fenced budget. And they also, the Commission also talks about things like doubling the size of the crisis reserve, the unity safety net in terms if there are disturbances in the market. You're clearly not impressed by this sort of talk from the Commission about support to farmers.
Not at all impressed, and this is something that we have been reacting on already before the proposals were tabled. So it's been a year now that we have been sounding the alarm. So I think that the significant budgetary cuts make our worries understandable. But then when it comes to these so-called opportunities that the Commission wished to present us in this new narrative, we do not see at all the opportunities. You mentioned the unity safety net. And there we need to say and to stress that this has to do with market crisis. So we don't have any guarantee when it comes to crises that come from natural extreme weather events. And this, you know, that it is a reality that we face. Then we are presented with opportunities when it comes to the competitiveness fund, and there the farmers and the farming community is excluded. And we need to acknowledge that we lost a pillar of the policy, an entire pillar, the rural development part of the policy, which is fundamental to complement the income and the markets first pillar and allow for growth of our businesses. What we say to the Commission is that if we dismantle the common agricultural policy, we threaten food security, we threaten the future of rural areas.
I want to just set the scene a bit better, perhaps, for our viewers and say that the EU has 9 million agricultural holdings, including a significant number of small farms under 5 hectares in size. So obviously any major changes or shocks particularly affects the smaller holdings. And I wonder, with that in mind, what the impact of the Mercosur trade agreement is going to be on farmers, Eli Tsifuru.
The impact of Mercosur is going to be severe. And there we have a very clear position as COPA and COGECA opposing this deal. For which reasons? So on the market side, we need to take into account that the sectors that are on the defensive side of this deal, they are under pressure not only because of Mercosur, but also because of other current deals like the one with Ukraine. So the same sectors under pressure. And again, it will be the case in future trade deals like Indonesia, India, etc. So what we say to the Commission is to take into account the cumulative impact of trade when it comes to the markets. And then the other question that remains open, and that it is a long-standing ask on behalf of our community, is the question of reciprocity. Yeah. And there, in the Mercosur deal, we see that the gap between the EU standards and the standards that are practically not applying in those countries is enormous. And this is something that we cannot accept.
Yeah, well, actually, just on that point of reciprocal clauses, the European Parliament just agreed to pass amendments that will strengthen those mirror clauses, or should do. So it seems that things are actually going in the direction that you want, aren't they?
Not really, because first of all, these safeguards, they have to do with the market. So they don't address the reciprocity. And even there, and despite the sincere and efforts of the members of the parliament to improve them, even there, they cannot provide sufficient guarantees for us. But these safeguards do not address the reciprocity question. We need to have in mind that reciprocity is not a political statement. And this is the case right now. And for that, for us, this is not acceptable. And this does not change our position when it comes to the Mercosur deal overall.
It's not just a political statement, though, is it? Because they're talking about specific mechanisms that will lead to trade investigations or even suspension of trade. They're talking about thresholds and triggering mechanisms. So it's not just a statement, surely.
It is a statement, because you cannot address the standards question through a defensive mechanism. What we are saying is that our colleagues, let's say from the Mercosur countries, they need to commit to the same directions as we do in Europe, and this is not addressed by the safeguards.
Do you see some benefits, at least, in the sense that EU farmers would be able to export more to Mercosur? I mean, one estimate says that poultry exports could rise by up to 39% from the EU to Latin America. Is there not some opportunity here for EU farmers under Mercosur?
In every commercial agreement, there are opportunities and there are losses. Our question when it comes, and our worries when it comes to Mercosur, is more strategic. And the strategic question has to do with the divergence of standards, and any sector could fall into this in future trade deals if the European Commission doesn't have a strategic appreciation of our sector when it comes to striking trade deals.
Got it. Just to switch a little bit, there's, as you know, a major drive towards simplification at the EU level. And I've often heard from farmers over the years that they've spent too much time on bureaucracy and not enough time on farming. Has this changed? Is it changing as a result of this simplification agenda?
Currently, not at all. Currently, I think that we are reaching more and more a peak in terms of the burden that is experienced by farmers. So, and this doesn't have to do with the common agricultural policy per se. It is far beyond the policy. We need to be aware that there is a big chunk of EU legislation that is weighing on the EU farms, that farmers need to implement rules that either contradict themselves, either are not pragmatic and block them from producing, from producing, sometimes blocking them even in their efforts to go towards to the sustainable transitions. The Commission has committed to a thorough and authentic simplification, but there as well, we see that there is a lack of ambition. We had the environment omnibus simplification proposals, and we saw that there were very few elements that address our concrete issues when it comes to simplification from that point of view.
And you mentioned sustainable transition. That's obviously an important aspect. The EU talks about giving farmers incentives to adopt practices that benefit biodiversity and the climate, but you think this is still mired in contradictions when it comes to the actual practical application?
Absolutely, this is what we think. And if we go back to the basics, because it's not a such a complex issue, we need to take into consideration that if a farmer wishes, and the farmers, believe me, they want to address the question, the environmental pillar of sustainability, but in order to do this, they need to be productive. They need to be profitable. So nothing can be achieved if we block this aspect of their work. So if we block the environment, the economic aspect of sustainability, this should be the starting point. And then for the farmers to go towards this direction, they need clear policy orientation and support, and they need innovation, and they need investments. Without these dimensions, we cannot achieve a balanced economic and environmental sustainability in the EU.
Very clear message to end on. Thank you so much for being my guest, Eli Tsifuru, the Secretary General of COPA COGECA. Thanks for watching this episode of Talking Europe here on France 24.